RadioMD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Her Radio, starring acclaimed entrepreneur and women's advocate, Michelle King Robeson, and leading women's health expert, the doc who walks the talk, Dr. Pam Peek, on RadioMD.
All right. Is there a Viagra for women, Michelle? It's all over the newspapers.
Oh, it's been everywhere. Everywhere.
Oh, my gosh. There's a drug that's going through its FDA approvals or disapprovals, whatever. It's called flibanserin. And all of the titles have been saying, hey, we finally have a Viagra for women. But do we? And it's gone through its first FDA approval. It won't be finalized till this summertime in August. But what is this all about, this flibanserin? Dr. Phil Sorrell is always our go-to physician and expert for all things women's health, hormones, menopause, perimenopause, and beyond. He's the founder of the Yale Menopause Program and the Yale Sex Counseling Service. As well, he is founding member of the International Academy of Sex Research. Oh, good grief. And is the editor of Menopause, the Journal of the North American Menopause
Society.
Okay,
enough already.
I just love reading all this. All right, let's just get to this.
Flibanserin.
Dr. Sorrell.
We're using up all the flibanserin time.
I know. Let's do it. All right.
I have real problems with the way in which the press has picked this up. It's also true with a lot of things the media does about menopause, about sex, about hormones. There's a need to have a hook to get people interested. It has nothing to do with the way Viagra works. What we're talking about, and here's the difference. A man who has a problem getting an erection takes Viagra or Cialis or one of those drugs to increase blood flow to his penis and have an erection. So that's a sex response.
Right.
The studies we're talking about today are not to do with sex response. They have to do with sex desire. The drug that is in discussion and has been studied now for many, many years, they've actually spent almost $500 million on the research for this drug. And what it is a drug that affects the brain. It's not a hormone. It's not affecting blood vessels the way Viagra does. It is affecting the way nerve discharge occurs in the part of the brain that's involved in sexual fantasy and sexual desire. The problem that it addresses is the problem of loss of desire and loss of fantasy. When you put both of them together, loss of desire and loss of sexual fantasy, then you have a condition which is called hypoactive sexual desire disorder. And that's what flibanserin was developed to treat. It's not a rare problem, unfortunately. Among women, and the women who have been studied for this drug, are all premenopausal women. Basically, essentially women in their mid-20s and into their mid-30s. So we're talking about a younger age group where you wouldn't expect there to be a lack of sexual fantasy or a lack of sexual desire, but it does affect a great many women. Some kind of sexual dysfunction affects about 40% of all women, all adult women, at any given time. And of those problems, whether it's a problem with responding or a problem with desire, the most common problem is the problem of loss of desire. Now, that's very common after pregnancy. It's very common if a woman is young and had a hysterectomy and lost her ovaries. Those women were not included in this study. But I do want to make a point right away, and that is, and by the way, this point was not really emphasized in the FDA hearing about flibanserin. 42% of all the women in this study were on low-dose birth control pills.
That's what I was going to ask you. What about birth control?
It's very important to know and understand that a woman can be put on a birth control pill that will wipe out her sexual desire and wipe out her sexual fantasy. Right. And it's not a rare event, and it's an easily changeable occurrence because you really just have to change the dose of the pill. So in this study, it will turn out there are women who are high responders to the flibanserin. Those are not women who were on birth control pills.
The women who were on birth control pills,
they actually didn't show, they showed a positive effect on what are called sexually satisfying events, but it wouldn't have been enough to even go back to the FDA with the data. If you include all of the women, the 58% who were not on birth control pills, then in fact almost 60% are in the group which we would call good responders, which means they were having about two times a month before treatment, before being in the study, about twice a month, when they would have a sexually satisfying event. But this was a marked decrease from what they had been accustomed to, and they were upset about it. You couldn't be in this study if you weren't distressed over loss of fantasy and loss of desire.
That's one of
the criteria. So, sure, there are women who are going to have no sexual fantasies, no desire, and men too who aren't distressed about it. But in order to be in the flibanserin study, you had to be really upset about it. And also, there were no major other factors like marital distress or problems with the partner or some drug that you were taking. On the other hand, the birth control pill, it's one of the things that I have really looked into about this and feel that's really an important part, because if it's someone who has the loss of desire and fantasy and is not on the birth control pill, then in fact the flibanserin has got a good chance of being very powerful for her. And for the women in whom it worked, there's something else to know. The study was done for 6 months, and it was done compared to placebo, the study that was just presented to the FDA, which is the third of the studies with flibanserin. Many thousands of women have been studied with this drug, and it does increase desire and fantasy. But the question is, how much? You know, how much of a difference does it make? And are there any bad effects? And that's where the drug had been turned down in the past, because this is a drug that had been presented three times before to the FDA, and each time it was turned down, mainly because the FDA was more concerned about the adverse effects. The adverse effects are to make you dizzy, to drop your blood pressure, and you can pass out, can have a problem with fatigue. So they're not
inconsiderable. Well, the other thing, too, Phil, the other thing, too, is you can't have it with alcohol, right?
Yeah, you can't drink.
Well, here was the joke. Well, no, if you actually look at the ads, there's a man and a woman sitting there. She's holding a glass of wine. I'm thinking, okay, have we not read, you know, the little packaging and all the rest of it? I think it's really important for everyone. You know, Dr. Phil Sorrell is our go-to physician expert on all things women and hormones, especially, you know, all the phases of our perimenopause, menopause in life, and has really helped us understand the role of flibanserin in a woman's life as it relates to her libido, her sex drive, and whether or not this is really a Viagra for women, which it is not. It is not the same thing as Viagra. It works through a different mechanism completely, the brain versus, you know, the actual gonads, as it were, in men, although there are some women who probably think that that was a brain. Well, anyway, we're not going to go there. Things just get ugly here. So
off topic.
So off topic. Next one. All right. Dr. Sorrell, thank you so much for being on Her Radio once again. I'm Dr. Pam Peek with Michelle King-Robeson.
You're listening to Her Radio on Radio MD. Follow us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. Stay well.